What's up, nerds and music lovers? It's time for... Oh, wait. We're back. It's been a while. This is episode one of season two of Nerd Tunes.
Right. Yeah. We took our summer hiatus, and now we are back.
Beginning of summer?
Well, sure. You know, we want to travel when the crowds aren't.
There we go. That makes sense.
You know, you go off-peak, you get better rates and less crowds.
That's right. we're world travelers.
Something like that.
Oh, so yeah, we're back, and this time around, I'm going to let Kevin take the reins on this one, more or less, because it is time. I tortured everybody with the Depeche Mode episode last time around.
Which is secretly why we have been gone for the last 2 months, is been getting over it.
Getting over it and been slowly recovering from it, even though we got a lot of good feedback on that one.
I actually really enjoyed that episode, but too. Scott has been gracious enough to give me my turn at the wheel.
I'm so mean, and I'm going to say no.
I know. and so we're going to be doing a album-by-album breakdown of my favorite band, which is Muse. Ooh. So I've put together they haven't been around quite as long as Depeche Mode, so this isn't going to be like 48 songs in a row of synth-pop. But it is a top 10, like we normally do, of Muse songs. And I've got one from each album, plus a live album.
I had a couple of songs I put in there, too. So mm-hmm. I do enjoy Muse. Not quite as much as you do, but I do like them a lot. I always joke around with my wife that it's one of those bands that one day will have an amazing greatest hits. And for me, that's music.
You know, their live albums are kind of like greatest hits.
Are they?
Oh, yeah.
I bet. I've never seen them live, so that's one band I'd definitely be interested in seeing.
I recommend it. They were really, really good. They have I have a song on here that's from their live at the Rome Olympic Stadium from 2014, nice. I think. Which was a great recording, great live concert, and it's a great mix of, you know, their greatest hits. I'm just gonna say great, like every great. Other word.
That'll That's work.
Just great.
Why not?
Muse, if you're not familiar with them, is a British English rock band from Tynemouth, Devon. I've never heard of her. They formed in 1994, and they consist of Matt Bellamy, who is the lead vocals. He does guitar and keyboards, a great piano player. Chris Wolstenholme, if I'm pronouncing that right,
okay.
Who's the bass guitar, backing vocals, also does some keyboards, and Dominic Howard, who does the drums.
They make a lot of noise for a band of three people.
They definitely sound much bigger than they are.
Yes.
And they replicated on stage really well. You would think that they would have like a backing band to kind of fill in bits and pieces, but just the three of them.
That's great.
And I think two of them live permanently here in the States, and I forget which one of them. I think it's the bass player that travels back and forth as needed.
Oh, okay, cool.
But
Depeche Mode does the same thing. Two of them live in America, and the other one lives in England.
Well, there you go. So their first album that I'm going to pick a song from was in 1999, and the album was called Showbiz.
Okay.
And
I didn't know they went back that far.
Yeah. Nice. And it seems like it was more recent that they came out, but yeah. I mean, we're almost 20 years.
That's crazy.
So we're going to start things off with the first song that I picked is called Sunburn, and it's off their album Showbiz.
Conscience grows.
I've said it before, but man, the size of the band by way of comparison to their sound is just
and epic. Listening to like a first single off a first album from 99, they have that like big polished sound coming like right out of the gate, but even this sounds stripped down compared to what I know is coming.
Right.
Which I love about this band. And you get, you know, Matt playing the piano there just right off the bat. So you're kind of like, okay, cool. You get like this cool, like piano rock kind of mix, but not like in a Billy Joel, Ben Folds kind of way.
No, it's much more epic than that. I actually, they've got one song, which I think might be in the loop here, that has a piano break in the middle of it. That is, it's right up there with like Beethoven and Mozart. It's so epic and classical sounding.
That possibly might be coming up in about two songs.
Oh, nice.
So moving right along, the next album that they did was Origin of Symmetry.
Okay.
Kind of expanded on their sound a little bit more, put a little more instrumentation in there. Something that I find in a lot of their works later on is there's a lot of like orchestration that's mixed in, and I'm always looking for and using Muse as an example of I want rock with orchestration. I mean, Metallica did their, Metallica and Symphony album. Or, I'm sorry, Symphony and Metallica, because it's S&M. Aren't we edgy rockers?
Yeah.
To be fair, though, I really like that album. I like that mix of like, a full orchestra with, you know, a rock band going on with that. And Muse does a lot of that in their album. So, if you know of any, know of any bands like that, reach out to us through any of our social media and give us some suggestions, because I'm looking to fix my music queue with some new music.
Love it. Please do.
So, 2001 was Origin of Symmetry, and the song that I've picked off of that is Newborn.
Okay.
And why don't we'll take a listen to that right now.
Let's hear it.
All right.
Yeah.
I like the progression of that song.
I don't want to, this is going to sound wrong whenever I say it, but there's almost like there's a flair to it that you didn't see in alternative music. It's almost like that flair that hair metal bands would put into their mm-hmm. instrumentation. I mean, say what you want about hair metal and the cheese of it all, but those guys that were in those bands were excellent musicians usually. And there's that flair to it, the guitar flair and the falsetto that he hits and all that. It's very, I don't know, it's kind of like a hair metal alternative take. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
Yeah. So, moving right along. Sorry, I don't have as much like in-depth knowledge of Muse like you do for Depeche Mode.
No, that's cool.
I'm just kind of like, this is what I know, and these are the songs that I like. I have every album of theirs, including all their live stuff. And so I'm just kind of playing you my favorites.
Nice.
Was Absolution. This was their third studio album.
This is the one that brought me into the band.
And I say third studio because before this they had their first live album, which was Hullabaloo.
Okay.
Which mixed well. If you can find the online version of it, it's got a bunch of live tracks and some B-sides on it.
Oh, cool.
And you listen to them live, and I do actually have a live track on here to play later. They are a band that is not just produced and sounds good in the studio. They bring it live, and they bring that sound to the stage and are amazing musicians.
Okay.
So Absolution, let's see, when did this album come out? I had it in front of me. 2003.
Yep.
And this is about when they started hitting in the States, or right before they started hitting in the States. Some of the like alternative college radio stations and the more hip, tuned into music places, non-commercial, were starting to discover them. They had already started playing really big in Europe and started playing like Glastonbury Festival and like some big, big shows. And right. We're getting a nice big following over there. So now they're starting to break in America.
Didn't you have a story about?
Well, this is where I discovered. This is at the period that I discovered Muse. I was living in Seattle at the time, and KEXP? I think it's sort of like a, it's kind of like a college publicly funded radio station up there, but they play like really great music, and they broadcast out of the EMP, the Experience Music Project. It's like a museum for music.
Oh, okay.
And they have like a studio in there, and they play out of there, and they're always like, and that's where I've learned about a lot of new bands that I never heard of.
Cutting edge.
Right. And kind of expanded my music taste. And they had played something by Muse, and my roommate at the time, Matt, had heard it, and he's like, dude, check this out. And he went online and found a bunch of stuff and kind of downloaded a dozen tracks or so from their first three albums and made me like a little mix CD. And he's like, dude, you got to check this out. I'm like, oh, yeah, okay, I totally will. I had a flight the next morning. I thought, all right, I'll just bring it with me on my Discman.
Right.
And listen to it on my flight. Don't know what happened. Food poisoning, something, ended up all night the night before, just like thrown up, totally sick, couldn't sleep, but had to be up at like 4 a.m. to drive myself to the airport.
Oh, those are
so,
the worst.
So now I'm like nauseous, thrown up, unslept, trying to drive in the dark, do the whole airport thing, get on the plane. I am beyond exhausted, and I'm also sick. Like, I don't feel good. You get the altitude and the pressure in the plane, and I put on this mix CD of Muse, and it was like doing a drug. Like, it was ethereal, just like hearing these grand sounds coming from their different songs and all this new music never heard before, and it like changed my DNA. For lack of a better term, I've never had an experience like that. It's probably what people get high and listen to music experience, because their minds. So that was my first experience with Muse. And while I'd flown from Washington back to California for like a long weekend doing something, I had that CD on repeat the entire weekend and just listened to it over and over. And then when I got home, I went to the local store, found their CDs used, got all their back album stuff, their back catalog. And just like started absorbing it from there, and been like lifelong fan since.
Nice.
From that weird, out of head, sick moment of listening to him on an airplane.
It's the equivalent of dropping acid, putting on Wizard of Oz and Dark Side of the Moon at the same time.
Yep. Right. So anyway, that was my real introduction to Muse. And actually, while I was in California, the local rock station that was down here, they were doing some street event.
X-1039, the Inland Empire's worst.
I guess they're defunct now, so we can name them. I didn't want to give them free advertising. So X-1039 was down here, and they had a booth, and they were advertising, and I approached the guy.
John DeSantis?
At the booth, and I was like, hey, listen, this is this European band. I had my mix CD. I gave him my mix CD, so I had to fly home without it. But I was like, I got more at home.
Right.
And I told him, I said, you guys aren't playing this. You can be first. Like, I have nothing to do with the band because I know they can't really take unsolicited music.
Right.
I said, just take this personally, listen to it, and, you know, take it to your higher-ups and show them what you found. But you will be the first to be playing this. And I kid you not, maybe 4 months later, K-Rock started playing them. And then they were everywhere, and they've never been out of rotation since.
Yeah.
And X could have been first, but they suck.
Yes,
so they were too busy playing whatever.
Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Linkin Park, or not Linkin, Limp Bizkit. And I'm trying to think of what was at the time, Godsmack, and all that angry kind of like, jock rock kind of nonsense early 2000s.
They were all about that shit.
All right, so enough yammering for me. 2003, the album was Absolution. This is also, Absolution is where they start getting into kind of like theme albums. There's a lot of like aliens and, you know, outer space themes, and that'll kind of continue for an album or two.
Mm-hmm.
But it's really cool that you kind of get... kind of like concept album, almost, out of them.
Almost, yeah.
So this is, I'm for sure, this was like a radio single for them. Definitely the biggest, best song off of this album. I think it's also the longest, so you're in for quite a ride. But the song I picked was Butterflies and Hurricanes.
Oh, this is my song. Oh.
Yep, the next two are for you.
Okay, thank you.
So here you go, Butterflies and Hurricanes from 2003.
Everything you are, and everything you are, your number has been called. Fights and battles have begun, revenge will surely come. Times are ahead. I got to be the best. I got to change the world and use this chance to be heard. Yeah, myself go. Your last chance has arrived. Best, you've got to be the best. You've got to change the world and use this chance to be.
I love that song.
There's nothing I hate about it.
Yeah.
You've got that great, like, it builds, and then, like, you've got the drum beat breakdown, which reminds me of, like, Wayne's World when Bohemian Rhapsody, when you just want to start headbanging at that moment. Yeah, and then you've got that awesome, like, piano orchestra, you know, section in the middle, and
it's gorgeous.
They were just doing things that nobody else was doing at the time.
Right.
And even kind of to this day, nobody seems to put in that kind of production and instrumentation into their music that comes out.
I know I wouldn't want to touch anything like that. Whenever a band like this comes out and they can do it so much better than I know I could. So yeah.
So moving on, they took a little bit of a break, probably to start touring, because, like I said, they were starting to break in the U.S. And so then, you know, tour for a couple of years, and then put on the next album. Didn't come out till 2006, mm-hmm. And that was Black Holes and Revelations. Now this one was definitely very heavy. Into you know, black holes, and I mean, they have songs like, you know, Black Holes and Revelations, Starlight, things like that, that were definitely space oriented.
Yeah, supermassive black hole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would say the standout song for this was Knights of Cydonia.
Yeah,
which was their big radio hit, and which is going to show up in a different show for us. I did not pick that song. I figure a lot of people have heard it.
Yeah.
So we actually went with your choice for this one, which was Starlight.
I do love this song.
A little more on the quiet side.
A little bit more
for what they do.
A little more poppy too, which is I like pop music. So cool pop music,
right?
Like Britney Spears, you know.
So I have another quick Muse story to go with this one.
Okay.
At the time, in 2006, I was at kind of a low point with, like, I was unemployed, my savings had run out, my girlfriend left me. Like, I sounded like I was living a country music song at the point, at that time in my life, right? And things just started, like, I got a new job, and things were starting to turn up. I turn around, I found a new place to live where the rent was going to be better in a better neighborhood. And so I was like, all right, things are going. So it's my first day of my new job, and I'm driving down the freeway to my new job. And I'm feeling kind of optimistic about what's going on, but unsure. And a paper shredding truck had lost the cover to its load and was just streaming shredded paper through the freeway.
Okay.
So at 65 miles an hour, let's say, driving down the freeway through long shredded strands of paper, kind of had the effect of, like, driving through light speed.
Nice.
So, and at that time, I'm, like, in this, like, what is this weird thing I'm driving on? And on the radio at that same moment, a new song started playing. And it was, you know, it's like some horses, and it sounds kind of weird. And I'm like, what is this? This sounds great. I know I didn't hear anybody announce what it was ahead of time. And the song starts, and then he starts singing. I'm like, this is Muse. Oh, my God, there's new Muse. New Muse, new job, new day. And so it was just
flying through light speed down the freeway.
It was being high on the airplane all over again. I'm driving light speed down the freeway and the song being kind of like spacey in its theme and tone, and I'm driving through light speed and my life in general was just on an upswing, and I had, like, a new Muse album to accompany me through this new start in life, and just could not have been better timed. And it's one of those magic movie moments that you get in life every once in a while. So I did not pick that song.
But that song will come back later on in another show.
In another episode, we'll play it for sure. But so this song is called Starlight, and it's from 2006. I love that song. It's great. I think I had misspoke earlier where I thought it was, I had said it was kind of subdued. I was confusing it with Invincible, which is almost more like their ballad song. But that one's just like so like peppy. And just,
I love it. Every time I'm driving down the road and it comes on, I just want to sing it loud and proud.
I will say that about a lot of their Muse songs is they're very sing-alongable.
Yeah, they are, actually.
And lucky for me, they're in a range where I can sing along with them.
Nice.
for the most part. I'm sure if I heard myself, I'd be horrified.
Every time I hear myself, I am.
So I'm going to take a quick break from their studio albums. I'm going to fit in one here from 2008, a live album.
Okay.
This was the Harp album, which I don't remember what it stands from. It's from a music festival that probably stands for high art and repetitive pacing. I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure what Harp stands. Anyway, so it's from the Harp Festival in 2008. And I picked this one because I wanted, there's another live one that I do later on also.
Okay.
But I think this really kind of showcases their live ability, that they aren't just studio, that they can, like I've said before, they can replicate their studio sound live, and but also bring something else to it. And they sound so big and epic in some of their live stuff. And and it doesn't hurt that they're playing like stadiums and very large arena festival kind of, you know, audiences,
right?
Which I think their sound is meant for. I think it'd be hard to watch something so grand in like a 200 person club.
Yeah, no kidding.
So other than just being loud, you kind of need the echo and the reverberation of a big area.
And you kind of want that audience reaction to be as epic as the song.
It feels great from having seen them live. It feels great being in a crowd of thousands of people who are all singing along and know every word. And they live Muse will often go to the audience to like fill in a line, that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, it's fun. So anyway, so this one is Time Is Running Out, and it's from
the song too.
It's from the Harp live album.
Okay.
I wanna play the game, I want the fiction, and you will be the death.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Whistle.
Thank you. Thank you, audience. Yes.
Loud screamy girl.
I don't know how girls get that volume sometimes out of their... They could be a mile from the mic, and it drowns out the singer.
Oh, yeah. And, man, I've been to some concerts where the girls screaming and the guys whistling are making me deaf more than the show itself.
Yeah. Oh, there's nothing. If you are that person who puts the two fingers in your mouth to do the super loud whistle at a concert, you're an asshole, one. and two, stop it.
Yeah.
Because the band doesn't care, and it's really definitely loud and annoying to the people immediately around you.
Yeah.
It adds nothing to the...
The band usually have the earplugs in, too, so they can't hear you.
That's the other thing. Yeah. Bands have in-ear monitors rather than at their feet monitors so that they can hear the band and themselves singing. They can't hear... You can scream all they want. They can't hear shit.
That's right.
Unless they hold the mic up to you... You're just waving your hands and dancing around. So, that brings me to point three. Put your goddamn cell phone down and put your hands up and dance around.
And enjoy the show.
Because the band can't really hear you, but they can see you standing there like a fucking log with your cell phone in the air or looking down at it.
Right.
Idiots.
Watching, you're there, you got great seats, you're watching the show through your phone.
God damn it.
You might as well be at home.
Like, pay like $1,000 to sit up front and then you're going to look at them through a 3-inch screen.
Yep.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Buy the DVD afterwards if you want a memory of the concert you were at.
Yeah, I will take a cell phone video, but I'll keep the cell phone at my chest, at my chest level, and watch the show just so I can have that memory of actually seeing it. But I'm not going to watch it through the screen. That's pointless.
At most, I may take 3 or 4 photos of if they have a cool set or lighting design or something like that for memory. But honestly, I'm mostly too far away that photos don't. It's just more of a, yep, I was there.
Right.
Kind of thing. So, all right. So, this has been your old man minute.
That's right. Get off our lawn.
Kids, get off our lawn seats. All right. So, getting back to the studio albums, the band had toured for a couple of years. The bass player had actually decided to take some time off to go into rehab for his alcoholism.
Oh, okay.
Because he thought, he said it's the band's, he believed in the band's integrity and sticking together, and it was really important to do that. And, you know, they support each other. They've known each other at this point for like 20 years growing up together. So they get back together, 2009, they get back in the studio, and this is their first band-produced album.
Nice.
And it's called The Resistance. And this is where they take a turn away from like aliens and get more political. not super heavy at first, just more of like, I watched V for Vendetta and I'm going to make an album about it.
That's pretty apt. Right? Yeah, that pretty much sounds like
that kind of like government's a little too powerful. Here's my opinions about it.
Right.
Their next album, Drones, really doubles down on that message, and we'll get into that later. But so this is The Resistance. Came in 2009. This is their first album where they do, I call it a mini symphony, where the last three tracks all blend together into one long piece.
Oh,
where
right.
It's kind of one, there's like three movements to a symphony. So the whole three of them together make like 15, 16 minutes long.
Yeah. And Exogenesis something?
Yes.
Yeah,
and it's great. I really like that. They did that on, actually they may have done that on Black Holes and Revelations also. I think there were a two-parter at the end of that. And Resistance has a three-parter at the end of that. Mm. Just some cool stuff. I think this one, they also start playing around a little more electronic instrumentation and that kind of stuff. And they're starting to get a little bit of a different sound, but still maintaining their big rock band integrity. So the song that I have picked from The Resistance is called Guiding Light.
Okay.
When pure hearts and stumble in my hands, they crumble and fragile and stripped to the core. I can't hurt you anymore. Love.
like hard as hell snare hit in that dun 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 dun. Bam!
Yeah, it's like wall shaking.
Yeah, I'm like, how do you like? Do you have an extra large drumstick? Like, what are you doing? It's are you taking like a wiffle bat to the side of a barn?
But this snare drum goes to 11.
It must. I'm telling you, I can't not air drum to some of their songs. Yeah. Also, I've probably replaced at least a half dozen steering wheels in my car because I banged the crap out of them while driving.
Set off the old the airbags. Airbag on it. Yeah.
Yeah, broke my nose twice. No, that's not true.
That's not true at all, no.
So that was the first album where they kind of start getting into, you know, political stuff. Mm-hmm. More awareness of their surroundings, I'll say.
Right.
And the next album that came out in 2012, so again, more touring, more awards, more like tops of billboards, more, I mean, they are just like an unstoppable force at this point in their career as far as, you know, world domination and ticket sales and album sales and all that kind of stuff. So, and honestly, they can do no wrong because they have at minimum one incredible radio hit on every album. And the rest of the songs are very listenable. And there's no reason they shouldn't be on the radio.
Right. They seem to have that radio pop mentality down pat, but not losing themselves at the same time.
Right. And it doesn't
feel
formulaic.
It's not trite. It's not pretentious. Right.
Yeah. Imagine Dragons. So, The next album, 2012, is called The Second Law, and this album gets a lot more into save the earth kind of stuff. The second law of thermodynamics, which I'm going to paraphrase as something to do with energy cannot be created nor destroyed, that kind of thing. So in any environment left alone will die to entropy, something like that. Anyways, the last two tracks on the album are sort of their operatic tracks that go together that I talked about, called Unsustainable, which is a great dubstep song. And it's not, I mean, there is electronic that they're using, but it's all like played through like guitar, drum.
You told me about that before. That's pretty impressive.
It's fantastic. If I could pull it up at my fingertips here real quick, I'd give you a little sample of it.
Do it.
But yeah, so Unsustainable and Isolated System are sort of their opera tracks at the end of that one. But this the whole album is about, it's called like Follow Me and Animals and Explorers and Madness was their big radio hit.
Okay.
And so I'm going to see if I can find real quick here. I'm going to go to the internets. Internets don't fail me. Scott, vamp for a second.
You got it. So
I can type.
You type, and I'm just going to sit here and talk about Muse and the very little that I know about them. So,
okay, so this is Unsustainable.
Saved by Kevin.
And the video that goes along with this is very, it's just showing, it's like stock footage of like stock markets and environmental stuff. And
okay.
Technological processes proceed in such a way the availability of the remaining energy decreases. In all energy exchanges, if no energy enters or leaves an isolated system, the entropy of our system increases.
Everybody getting that?
Energy continuously flows from
this will be on the test.
Dispersed, spread out, and wasted, and useless. New energy cannot be created, and high-grade energy is being destroyed. An economy based on endless growth is unsustainable.
So it doesn't go on like that forever. Eventually, Matt will come back in and start his normal like opera singing bit. Anyway, so a little bit of departure for them for Unsustainable.
And you say they play that live?
Do that live. And it's just all through, you know, guitar effects and heavy drum and you know, keyboard.
That's
so impressive. It's not like they have like a turntable up there with like a, you know, sample board or anything like that. So that's, I
no guy
that.
In a helmet up there going, you know, waving his hand in the air after the dancing crowd.
Yeah, no, none of that. No LED face masks or nothing. So
no giant mouse ears.
No. Dead, what is it? Dead Mal 5, yeah. All right, so that's our bonus track. We always throw in some sort of bonus thing when we're talking about
it. I don't mind it.
So from The Second Law, I have picked the song called Supremacy.
imagination is a fantasy. Policies have risen up and overcome the brave. Greatness dies unsung and lost, invisible to history. Embedded spies brainwashing our children to be mean. You don't have long. I am on to you. The time
Supremacy. That song rules supreme.
That's pretty SC. Cool. Supreme SE.
Yeah.
The end right there. It's like it's got this whole epic vibe throughout the whole thing. Orchestration, mm-hmm. big drums, big guitars, big strings, and then at the very end, it's like some 70s James Bond. End.
I was kind of thinking about that also before you mentioned that. I'm like, it kind of sounds like it could be like a Bond opening or a montage, you know, fight scene or
really
something
does.
Like
it's
that.
Like, yeah. That at the very end, mm-hmm. it's like all of a sudden you expect a fade to like Monaco and, you know, James Bond sitting at a table somewhere with cards in mm-hmm. his hand.
So moving on is the next live track that I have thrown in here. This is from their live at the Rome Olympic Stadium,
okay,
which was recorded in November of 2013. So quite a while ago, but I first saw it, it was playing on cable one night. I was flipping through channels and just stopped whatever I was doing and was just mesmerized. It's a fantastic multimedia recording of the show. So I don't normally recommend, like, go pick up that DVD and watch that live show. Go pick up that DVD and watch this live show. They do some really fantastic editing stuff with the show, and that kind of interacts with the audience, actually. Even some where, like, things go black and white, except for, like, the color red. At one point, Matt leaves the stage and does, like, a walking tour underneath the stage with all, like, the support crew and stuff that's underneath there. And like, it's fantastic. It's a really well put together show. Very colorful and amazing recordings.
Cool.
And again, like, a greatest hits. Because at this point, you know, they've got like 5 or 6 studio albums to pull from. So it's a great mix of what they were playing.
Awesome.
So from...
And the, it's which one is it? It's live.
This is live at the Rome Olympic Stadium.
Okay, cool.
And for this one, I have picked the song Panic Station. Zinzo, enjoy.
Okay.
Till you sacrifice it all. You won't get to taste it with your face against the wall. Wall. Get up and commit so the power trapped within. Do just what you want to. Now stand up.
So there you go.
I keep using this whole, you know, it's cranked up to 11 joke. It seemed, you know, it's a great joke to reuse in every freaking episode. But honestly, his vocal performances, he's like balls to the wall all the time, knocking it out of the park. I mean, it's just like he is literally amped up on to 11 the entire time.
Yeah. And I didn't even mention that for the DVD for this. You know, put it on at home, a big TV, sit close, so it makes it feel bigger.
Right.
Crank the volume to 11, and it was like being at the concert. It's
that's great.
Super high def, very colorful. It's a great audio mix. It's a really, really good show that I couldn't recommend enough. So
okay.
There's a lot of versions of songs from that album, mm-hmm. or that tour,
yeah.
That they are still playing currently. Like Knights of Sidonia has a different opening to it and is arranged slightly different. The track list on that show is similar to kind of the tour they just finished, but with some of their newer stuff mixed in also. They actually have in the theater, I don't have it at my fingertips right now, a theater screening of their recent tour. Okay. So you can go to like your local AMC and watch the show on the big screen.
That's pretty cool.
Kind of stuff, which I think is a neat. And then that means it'll be out on DVD soon too. So that, right. that was the tour that we just saw last October. We went up to, I keep calling it the Google Theater. Okay. I don't know what it's actually called. It's an amphitheater on the Google campus.
Okay.
Which I will never go to again in my life because there's like two roads in and out.
Oh, Hollywood Bowl style.
Yeah. Oh, but shit. Worse, I don't know, 2.5 hours to get in. Like, we missed the whole opening act, which was 30 seconds to Mars, which was fine. Oh, but
so you win.
Yeah. In the end, yeah, winner. But still, at the same time, like, Jesus Christ. So their next album is called Drones, and this is their most recent studio album. It's their seventh, and it came out in March of 2015.
Okay.
Now, this one, they get really heavy into the political message on this one, anti-military to an extent, I would say. I think their single off this one is called Psycho. But they also have a song called Drones, which is them in kind of like a three-part harmony as a men's choir singing about drones blowing up villages. Okay. one called Dead Inside, which I think actually that's probably more their single off of this one. Because Psycho has some F-bombs dropped in it that would be hard to radio edit all of them. Reapers, I mean, it's just JFK. There's a audio clips from, you know, JFK speeches. There's one about a drill sergeant just like calling someone, you know, like a Full Metal Jacket,
okay,
R. Lee Ermey style kind of. It's just very, very heavy military as a kind of a bad thing, I'm inferring.
Mm-hmm.
Where like I support the military, but you know, to an extent of their purpose, you know, and I think they're more of like sending the military in to solve all problems.
Okay.
is not the way to go, kind of message. But it's a little too heavy-handed for me on this album.
Yeah, that's I dropped out on Muse after the second Law. I think that's the last album I purchase from them, mm-hmm. which was the album just before this one. So I almost stuck through all the way.
I would say there are some good tracks on this.
Are there?
Okay. But as an album as a whole, I listen to it the least and usually skip the most when songs come up. But I did pick a song that I like from it.
All right.
Which is called Reapers.
Okay.
So here you go. Reapers from Drones.
Yeah.
Reapers, one of the longer songs from my selections. I was mentioning through it, we were talking about how it has kind of an 80s metal sound to it.
It does. From the guitar breakdown, you'd mentioned that even some of the bass guitar is very Chili Peppers-esque mm-hmm. to it almost. And I noticed that it's produced by Mutt Lang, who, I mean, in the 80s, if you were wealthy enough to afford Mutt Lang, he was the guy you went to. He did all the Cars albums or you know, the popular Cars albums. Def Leppard's Pyromania and Hysteria, AC/DC's Back in Black album, I believe he did. Bryan Adams, his, you know, like Everything I Do It For You.
Sure.
That album was produced by Mutt Lang, so he was like a staple of that era.
Well, if they are going to stick with Mutt for their next album, Dig Down, that makes a lot of sense because it's I mean, based on the video alone, it looks incredibly 80s. I think retro 80s is sort of in right now again.
Yeah.
And the video is sort of like, I don't know, Thriller meets Back to the Future meets 1984. Like, it's a really weird, cool video.
Okay.
Yeah, so the last thing that I picked, but before we get to the last song, we're already at number 10, if you believe it. Yeah, and we are a little out of practice because normally, usually around number 5, we'll do our social media plugs.
We do our own breakdown.
Right, breakdown. Breakdown.
Whoop, 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 whoop. I don't know, man. I got nothing.
Was that your reggaeton horn?
No, that was my version of dubstep. Wow, I'm really off.
Gotcha.
I'm really off.
So make sure you can follow us on all social network. Easiest is to go straight to our website, nerdswithattitudepodcast.com, but you can also follow us through Instagram and Facebook.
Twitter,
yeah. At Nerdy Attitude,
and any other like you were saying, Facebook, mm-hmm. Instagram. Just look up Nerds with Nerds Attitude podcast. Accept no substitutes.
Yes, look for our logo. It's a hand holding a microphone with all the nerd stuff shooting out of it. That's us. Also, if you are listening to us on the RLU network, thank you for finding our show and enjoying it. I hope you're enjoying it.
I hope so.
I'm assuming you're enjoying it.
If you're enjoying it, this has been Scott. If you haven't been, this has been Migs.
Right. This is we've been the Sarlacc Digest. If you have not liked our show,
hey, you watch yourself, sir.
But you can also find us on the RLU, the Raw Live Unedited.
That's us.
And except we are heavily edited, not live, but pretty raw.
That's true.
So we're the pretty raw on live unedited. Totally. Anyway, so we will leave you with this, the song number 10 from their upcoming album.
I was going to say, I didn't see an album past Drone.
Well, it says they've released a couple of singles, but the album itself is not out yet. The album will be called Dig Down. Let's see, a single from the band's upcoming 8th studio album following Dig Down. Oh, I'm sorry. Dig Down was the first single that was released.
Okay.
I'm not sure the album has a name yet. I'm sure the super fans will write to us and tell me I'm wrong. But for now, I have picked a song called Thought Contagion.
Okay.
Which I will leave you with. So, Scott, keep it nerdy.
Keep it nerdy, Kevin.
Believe. In a world with far too many Star Wars podcasts comes one more Star Wars podcast. Yahoo! The Sarlacc Digest, a bi-weekly show covering Star Wars news, toys, book reviews, fan theories, and new canon discussion.
All wings report in.
Join the Sarlacc Digest hosts as they bring you knowledge and lore. Man, whenever the Yuuzhan Vong dropped the moon on Chewbacca's head, I shed a
tear, dude. What? Not f***ing canon.
Jason and Jaina Solo.
Why is it so hard for everybody to understand?
The passion.
So when Luke took off Vader's helmet, you could just see the sadness going in, the lighting and the tears forming, and it's just... The soundtrack just starts raising, and then...
You know it's a movie, right?
What?
The fandom.
Okay, so I have my Darth Vader camping chair for the line, my brand new exclusive Luke and Leia Vans, my Star Wars pop vinyl wristband that I just got. Oh, did I tell you that I was going to get my next...
And the collecting world. I got the orange carded figures.
I got the green card.
I got the red card.
Okay, do you have circles on hand? No circles? Half circle?
Half circles?
Half circle. You got Palpatine Blue Saber?
I do, and the barge.
What the f***? No, not the barge.
The Sarlacc Digest, bringing you line talk and digesting Star Wars topics over 1,000 years. Find us on SoundCloud, iTunes, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we're proud members of the RLU, Raw Live and Unedited Podcasting Network. Find us, rawlivepod.com.